The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia EPL podcast sponsored by Stardust Spirits. Use the code KOA to get 20% off your next order. And yeah, we're back quicker than it ever been because obviously we had a little bit of a time away, but now we're bringing you two EPLs in 1 week, which has been great fun. I'm here as always, a standard Alex Jones, my friend, come in. How are you? We're going to recap game week 36. Only two more game weeks left to go. So only two more FPLs potentially left to go as well. But how are you?
Dreadful, Ross. This has been an absolute car crash of an FPL week. As we'll get on to, I'll be honest. I kind of known that it wasn't going to be great because over the weekend, I'd seen a few bits happening. I'd plumped on a couple of Brentford players, for example, and I'd seen some of the scorers and I thought to myself, I don't think it's going to be that good. I didn't expect, and this, honest to God, the first time I've looked at my team was about 30 seconds before we started recording this, and I did not expect it to be quite as bad as it was. It's really not good. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to sit here for the next few minutes and break down all my failings that I've had, the many, many failings with this this game week, but aside from FPL, I'm all right. The sun is shining. And when we've done this, I will just hopefully forget that this whole game exists, basically, and move on with my life.
Yeah, obviously, it's a battle of me and you to see who's going to be top of our out of us four. We're actually going to be chatting later on in the pod about the battle for the bottom spot with Heathie and Stu, and that is very close. We'll mention that later on. But yeah, it's a sunny day. Obviously, we're doing this after the Ipswich Town defeat against Brentford, so check out the flagship show as we break that down as a whole of that game.
And discuss gorillas for
and gorillas
a long
and all
period
that.
Of time. Yeah,
we did indeed. So check that out if you haven't already.
Very serious talk. Very serious podcast.
That's what we do here at Kings of Anglia. But we are here to talk about FPL and game week 36. The average was 43. The highest was 124 points this week. We're going to start with you, AJ, because it sounds like you had a bad week. So the average was 43. Did you get the average? Did you get below the average? What did you get?
I was well below the average. It's probably the first time I've been well below the average in a while. You're reacting like this, despite the fact I'm pretty sure you knew my score for the week before I even knew my score for the week. Average of 43. I've ended up on 30, made to pay for my bench as well. We'll run through it then. Jose Sarr had a game against, I can't even remember, Brighton. He conceded two. He got 1 point. Disaster. Ike Nouri in front of him has been in really good form, but did nothing because it was a 2-0 defeat. So he got 1 point as well. Josko Gvardiol saved me a little bit, despite the fact that Man City just decided to do nothing. They had about 50 million shots away at Southampton. Couldn't score any of them. That meant that he got a clean sheet. Milos Kerkez, who was at home to Villa, got nothing because they lost 1-0. Brian from Brentford, Brian and Bumo, got 6 points for his third attempt at taking that corner. The third one actually ended up being an assist, so that's good. Thanks, Brian. There's some points at least. Kevin De Bruyne blanked, but he was my captain, and because he got a clean sheet, he got 3 for the week, captained into 6. Mo Salah blanked, shock, not really in good form. Bruno Fernandes blanked, 2 points as well. Marmoush didn't start, came on against Southampton, couldn't do anything, blanked, 1 point. Isak played against Chelsea, blanked, 2 points. Yambisa, it was my transfer for this week, brought him in because I thought he could have a good run against Town like he did in the reverse fixture. Blanked 1 point because he got booked as well in that one. I had a toss-up between Vissa and Chris Wood. Of course, Chris Wood scored and Yarvissa didn't. And I know that Callum, friend of the pod, Callum, will be laughing a lot because he picked Chris Wood when he was sat there about 30 seconds before the deadline, sat next to me picking his players. He went for Chris Wood. Didn't captain him though, which I know he's disappointed about. On my bench as well, made to pay for that. Alphonse Areola, 8 points, because for some reason West Ham decided actually to show up this weekend and keep a clean sheet at Old Trafford. And I also had Jacob Murphy on my bench for 5 points. So if I had those two in my team, I would have probably been around the average, but I don't. And I'm well below the average. And I've absolutely plummeted down. And my top 100 that I've been aiming for looking pretty perilous now.
Yeah, we've only two game weeks left to go. Is that your worst week in FPL this season?
I'd say so. It's definitely the most I've underperformed an average, I'd say. In terms of it being the actual worst week, I'd say it probably will be. I think I pretty much hit at least 40 on everything. My app isn't even loading to go back far enough. I've had a 37 in there, 35. But again, these are like naturally low scoring weeks. This was a low-ish week, but it wasn't that low. So for me to kind of, and I look at this team and I think, actually, you know what? It's not as good as I would like it to be at this stage of the season. But I feel really unfortunate that there's a lot of players that you really would back to score in these games that blanked. And I seem to have picked every single one of them. But hey, that's the nature of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, you sometimes just regret bringing a player in and then next week he goes and scores a hat-trick. You know, Wizard could potentially score a hat-trick next week for Brentford. So you just never know. But yeah, I just about got the average. 45 points for me. And there's a few players I'm just not happy with, but I've got to stick with them because I ain't got any more transfers now. But Martinez in goal got me 8 points. So he got obviously a clean sheet for Villa in their 1-0 win against Bournemouth. Kirkez, obviously, was part of the Bournemouth team. He only got me 2 points, just like you. Guardiola was in my team, so he got 6 points for obviously Man City drawing against Southampton, which is just mad, but obviously he got a clean sheet. And I also brought in, for some reason, I don't know why, I've just also just looked at it. I think it was a panic buy. I brought back in Pedro Porro of Spurs because he obviously was a sort of favourite in terms of a player to bring in because he obviously used to get assists and stuff. But then I'm looking back, he's not actually had a good, like, year in the last, like, yeah, for a while. He's been blanking for a while. But then obviously Spurs have been crap. So that's probably why. But that's what made me my regret because I got Daniel Munez, or whatever his name is, from Palace on my bench. We got 11 points against Spurs, obviously. That was a regret. Maybe I should have started him instead because he got a clean sheet and an assist and got 2 bonus points. So I would have been flying if I started him instead, but I didn't, which was annoying. But it is what it is. One of my signings, I think I made 3 transfers in total. So Pedro Porro was one. The other signing was Alanga. Anthony Alanga from Nottingham Forest, who had got an assist.
You had to think about that.
Yeah, sorry.
You got it, though. You nailed it.
I was waiting for the app to open. I just forgot his last name. I know he's Langham. I don't know his first name, sorry. But he got an assist and 2 bonus points. So he got me 7 points in totals, as Forrest, of course, drew with Leicester 2-2. Brian from Brentford, just like you, got me 6 points. I also decided to start Bruno Fernandes, which I shouldn't have done. But then other options I had was, well, Mo Salah was actually on my bench. I actually put on my bench. So I thought he's playing against Arsenal. But then obviously Liverpool beat, and I drew against Arsenal 2-2, but obviously said I didn't do anything. But I did start Jared Bowen, who obviously was playing against Bruno Fernandes, but he got me 8 lovely points for a goal and a clean sheet, even though I didn't think midfielders or forwards can get clean sheets.
Midfielders get a point for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he got a point, obviously. So he got me 8 lovely points. He's had a really good one. I'm quickly looking at his last few game weeks. So 8 points against United, 9 points against Spurs, 10 points against Brighton, even when they lost 3-2, 9 points against Southampton, and then obviously 2 points against Liverpool in that defeat, and then 7 points against Bournemouth. So Jared Bowen, it's not, you know, under the radar sort of signing for me, but he got me 8 points. My third signing of this game week was Cunha from Wolves. Obviously, he's had a few decent game weeks. Didn't do great against Man City the other week because obviously they lost 1-0. So, but he also got 15 points against Leicester, 8 points against United, 7 points against Spurs. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring him in for this last few game weeks because they're Brighton, Palace and Brentford. And I think he's going to score potentially in some of those games. But yeah, he didn't do nothing. So he played 58 minutes and got a yellow card. So yeah.
Standard. Luckily, that's like with Mateus Cunha, you know that it's either going to be like four goals in a game, or he's going to blank and he's going to get booked or probably sent off.
Yeah. So I'm regretting that already, and I've used my free transfer already, and I'll mention that later or in a minute when we do talk about teams. But I'm not happy with that because all my forwards did nothing. Isak obviously got 4 points, and I obviously had Delap starting as well. Because I was debating, do I bring in another Richard Town player and maybe get rid of Delap and then bring in a Richard player in a different position? But I thought, you know what, no, I'll stick with Delap. And yeah, he didn't do nothing. So 2 points. And as I said, my bench, Munoz from Palace got me 11 points. Robertson, 0. Salah, 2. And Bart, the Brighton goalkeeper, got me 8 points. So there was one stage where I think the Villa game was playing when we're in the press room at Portman Road. And also I looked, I went, oh no, Bart's on my bench and he's got 8 points. And I was like, oh no, hopefully Martinez. I was like praying Martinez is going to get a clean sheet for Villa against Bournemouth. And thankfully he did. He got me 8 points. But 45 points in total for my team, Snappy Snaps. 124 points, AJ, was the highest. Shall we quickly look at that team? And it's the team's called It's Not Coming Home. They use a bench boost, which helped them out a lot, as you can see. Would you want to run through it, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. There's an Ipswich Town player in this starting lineup. Wow, incredible. He's got Pickford in there, he got 3 points, a back line of Conser for 5, Branthwaite for 2, double Everton defence, interesting. Dan Byrne got 11, captained Ibere Eze for 32 points. I don't know who's captaining Eze, like, full stop against Spurs as well. I know they're not in great form, but wow, fair, good captaincy pick. Morgan Rogers for 6, Harvey Barnes for 3, Jared Bowen, like you, for 8, Morgan Gibbs-White for 13, Watkins for 9, Liam Delap, who blanked. But then on the bench boost, got Dean Henderson for 6 and Gahey for 7, the double Palace combination there. Aaron Wan-Bissaka for 12 for his assist for Bowen and the clean sheet. And then Jamie Vardy, who did something, did he? I don't actually know what he did. He got an assist in that draw at Nottingham Forest, taking to 124. So this is how a bench boost can help you out. There are some kind of picks in there. We look at a Pickford, a Branthwaite, Barnes and Delap, players who blanked. But then you've got that bench in there where everyone got a return and all of a sudden you've got the top score of anyone in the game for the week. So that's how you got to work it.
Yeah, pretty much. And we'll have a look at the rest of the Calaway League shortly and look at leaderboard and look at maybe people's points totals and see how they got on. Shall we talk about our potential transfers for game week 37? Really, this is only maybe the last time you're going to be making transfers in terms of like, yeah, okay, let's finish the season off strong. Finish with a bit of pride, just like Ipswich Town. AJ, what are you thinking? How many transfers have you got left? And I've still got my triple captain, so I'm deciding when shall I use it? Because I've got to use it this game week or next game week, or I've just wasted it. But we'll discuss that. Maybe I'll ask your opinion on it. Maybe you can help me out, maybe. But yeah, any transfers, any doors? We're recording this obviously on a Tuesday, so there's obviously a few days to go until obviously the deadline. Deadline is 6 o'clock this Friday. Is there a game this Friday? Yes, there is. There must be. If it says 6 o'clock.
There are games on Friday. No games on Saturday this week because you're not allowed to have games at the same time as the, or at least of the Premier League, there's no clashes with the FA Cup final, which is on the Saturday. So there are games on kind of Saturday through to Monday. And then the FA Cup finalists are also playing on the Tuesday instead of playing this weekend. So Palace and City both in action kind of next week. But it's not going to be a double game week. Everything kind of matches up now. Mm-hmm. That's how it works from here on. In terms of changes, oh, Ross, I don't know. I really don't know. My team's in such a weird position where I don't feel happy with it, but I don't really know what I'd change. I have one free transfer. I could take a hit, but having picked up just 30 last week, taking a hit feels like a bit of a stupid move. I've got a player on yellow who's Kieran Trippier. So the logic I kind of got in my head at the moment would be to take Trippier out. He was on my bench last week. Bring in someone else. Who that is, I really don't know. And then bring that person in for Milos Kerkez, who's got a trip to the Etihad that I think Bournemouth are going to lose. So that's kind of the thinking at the moment, would be then to bench Kirk as I can get Trippier out. But the defensive options, there's none that really stand out to me that much. You look fixture-wise, and one of the more appealing teams would be someone like an Everton, who are pretty solid defensively. They're playing Southampton at home. Southampton kind of hit and miss when it comes to goals. They're a really bizarre team in the final Goodison game. So he'd be one that I feel like could get a clean sheet. But other than that, I'm really struggling to kind of assess where teams are at the moment. That is one of the hardest bits, where Newcastle's form has taken a little bit of a dip, and key player, well, not their form, rather, they're in good form, but players like Isak and others, they've not quite performing right at the highest level. They've got a really tough trip to Arsenal. You look at Arsenal, have they got the motivation? Possibly. They went to Anfield and got a draw, but they've got nothing left to play for. Liverpool, I don't know how sober their players are going to be at the moment. I think they've just been on the lash since winning the title, and fair enough. I'm finding it hard to kind of assess teams in this bracket. So for me, it's important to kind of find players who are playing for teams that have something to play for, which you're looking at Chelsea, possibly Villa, Forest, Brentford and Brighton are kind of those teams that are in that mix, kind of going for one of those Conference League spots or Europa League, and in Chelsea's case, trying to make sure that they hold on to fifth spot there. So who will be the player that comes in? I'm not quite sure, but definitely that's the change I'm looking to make. I can't see myself going above that. It's just interesting as well, where you look at who certain teams, which are the teams that have something to play for, but also then looking at those down the bottom. Usually I've been kind of highlighting Leicester as like a team to pick on almost. And in the last few weeks, or the last two games, they've actually got 4 points, and then their next game's against Ipswich. So they're not really ones. You look at United, they've got to go to Chelsea. I don't think United will care in the slightest about this game, given that they've got a Europa League final coming up. Tottenham go to Villa. So probably the route I'd look down would be doing something with either Villa or Chelsea, knowing that the level of opposition that they've got, knowing that they're both fighting for something and both want to focus on the Europa League against, well, sorry, the opposition wants to focus on the Europa League rather. That'll probably be the way I'm going about it. But where in particular, I'm not really sure. As you can probably tell, my brain is totally scrambled trying to piece all of this together. It's a difficult part of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, because as you said, it's not really much to play for many teams. Obviously, yeah, teams are fighting for Europe and stuff, but there's no one like batting relegation. There's no one, you know, batting for the title now. So it's tricky. I'm going to quickly go through the game week, and then that will discuss my maybe potential changes or maybe potential captain's picks. So Villa Spurs is the 7:30 kickoff on Friday night. And there's also Chelsea Man United at 8:15 on Friday night. So two games on a Friday night, that's going to be interesting. And as you said, no games on Saturday.
Yeah, because is that both? Yeah, Man United and Tottenham. Is it Tottenham as well we're playing, did you say?
Tottenham Villa, Chelsea Man United, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll both be playing early as well, of course, because they've got that Europa League game that is coming up really fast. I think, is that a week today? I think that might be. Yeah, a week today when they play in that game. So everything's kind of been shifted a little bit for that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's going to be interesting. Two Premier League games on a Friday night, that's going to be good. Then Sunday, there's loads of games. There's 5 in total. Everton, Southampton, obviously the last Goodison Park game, AJ. So maybe Everton players, maybe chuck some Everton players in, because yeah, they want to obviously finish off and off Southampton. Got a draw against Man City, but obviously didn't really play much football in that game. But yeah, that would be an interesting one. West Ham, Forest. I've got two sort of, I've got, obviously, Bowen, I've got Alanga in my team. Chris Wood, do you bring him back in for the final two? Brentford, Fulham, obviously, they're both battling, the London clubs battling for, you know, European football. Leicester, Ipswich, obviously, the battle of 18th spot. Yeah, Vardy's obviously last game at the King Power, so that'll be a bit of a loving, I'm sure, there. Arsenal, Newcastle, that will probably be, it could go either way, that one. Then Monday Night Football, Brighton, Liverpool. Obviously, both teams pretty much on the beach, although Brighton obviously still trying to fight for Europe. Palace, Wolves, and then Man City, Bournemouth. Obviously, Palace, you know, FA Cup final potentially, you know, would they want to win it? Would they be a bit sort of hangover from that game if they have won it, or vice versa if they've lost? And I've actually made a punt, AJ, already. I brought in Eze. I've jumped on the bandwagon. He's done pretty well the last few game weeks, and I brought him in, and I've just realised, yeah, he's got Liverpool on the final day.
Is that a risk, knowing that he's got one of the biggest games of his career, definitely at club level, I'd say, on the weekend, where he could be an FA Cup winner? Is there a rotation risk in there? Is there the risk? I mean, as well, you know, he's an injury-prone player, of course. He's had different spells out. I mean, I don't want anyone to get injured, but there is always that risk, isn't there, of going and doing that. It's not the easiest run. Wolves, apart from the last couple of games, have been in pretty good form as well. I like it. I get it. And it will still be a differential as well, but there are definite kind of warning flags that are going up at the moment.
Yeah, I will admit, I sort of just panicked. I don't know why I rushed it, in a way. I think I did it just prior coming on the record, and I just went, I'm going to do it straight away. And I really shouldn't have done it when I should have done maybe a bit more research. But as you're all aware, FPL listeners, sometimes I don't think it through and I just make the change. I've also made, I haven't done it just yet, but I'm actually going to put it to you, AJ. Do I just do it? Do I just triple captain Delap for Richards against Leicester? Just for the, why not? Shall I go for it? Because it's a risk.
Wow. I did not expect that at all. I mean, it's a bit like, you know, the kind of the angel and devil on the shoulders kind of thing. Mm. I feel like you'd have, I don't even know which way around they'd go. Would you have the angel saying, no, don't do that, Ross. It's not a good idea. He's not been in amazing goal-scoring form. He's probably thinking about Old Trafford at the moment or something like that, and a nice summer away, and there's a rotation risk with George Hurst. He doesn't seem to play more than an hour. And then you've got the devil on the other side going, yes, Ross, do it. Do it now. Get him in there. He's going to score a hat-trick, and suddenly you'll be in the top 100 and you'll win the league. It is a huge risk. It would be an absolutely colossal risk, but the rewards of it potentially would be quite something. I don't know where that kind of lands you then at the end of it, whether you'd lean towards it or not, but that's quite a lot kind of going on there, isn't it?
Yeah, I think my only thinking of is because I think the lap out of the whole team that I have, I've kept him. Obviously, we've made that rule. You've got to have an Ipswich Town player. And I think Liam Delap's been on my team for the whole FPL season. And just to finish it off, just triple captain him and just see what he can do. Do I do it for Leicester or do it for West Ham on the final day? But as you said, he's a bit out of form, hasn't been scoring many recently. As I said, George Hurst could probably start at Leicester because obviously the connection there. But I don't know. Do I just take that risk just for the bounce? Like, I'm not going to win the league. Obviously, I want to battle with you. Who are you captaining for this? Obviously, you haven't got the triple captaincy anymore, but or have you? Have you got triple captaincy? No.
No, I've used mine. It was all right. I used it on Salah. I think he scored a couple. It was okay. In terms of how I want to go about it, I've used Kevin De Bruyne for the last couple of weeks, and I'm not really sure which way I want to go about things with Kevin De Bruyne. So obviously City have this cup game on the weekend, and my fear would be that he would get rested then for the league game after that. The only difference being that the league game after that, Bournemouth at home, will be, if he plays in it, his last home game for Manchester City. So I'd imagine that City would like him to start in that one, and obviously to start the cup final, which would be a lot in the space of a few days. But I just think with him, you know, he'd be on penalties, he'd be desperate to score. He seems like an interesting pick. Aside from that, I don't know. I can't find a way to get Mo Salah out of my team, but I'm not captaining him. Bruno Fernandes is an interesting one, but I don't even know if he's going to score, if he'll get rested for the Europa League final. Isak's not in the best form at the moment, and then you're looking kind of elsewhere, you know, players that aren't necessarily going to be looking for goal-scoring returns, a defender, Brian Mbeumo, someone like that. So the safe pick seems Kevin De Bruyne, which is weird considering it doesn't feel very safe with me sat here talking about it right now. But that's where I'm leaning. Whether it'll be where I end up, I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, then we'll find out next FPL podcast. You know what? I may just do it, you know. I may triple Captain Delap just for the... Because why not?
He might get benched, but
That would be horrible. That would be horrible. We're waiting for the team news to drop. When it drops, that would be the first thing I think of. I won't even care about, oh, this town have made this many changes. Someone's missed out or whatever. I'm like, I'm just going to look. Is Delap starting? And then, but do I wait for the West Ham game? That obviously could be his, you know, final game for Ipswich.
Yeah,
and stuff
it could
like
be. I mean, you could just go bring Michael Keane back in and triple captain him. There's still time. There's still time.
Of course, he scored at Everton
exactly
this weekend.
Yeah.
So, because I'm just trying to look at the other players I could triple captain. There's no one else really that sort of like. Was it Brian from Brentford potentially? Obviously, Mo Salah. What, Anthony Elanga maybe? Just out of nowhere. Like Isak would be
Forrest
another
Scott?
One, but
again,
Forrest, West Ham, and then they got Chelsea on the final day. And then, well, then I could just triple captain Bowen and triple captain Bowen against Ipswich on the final day.
Yeah.
And I've obviously got Cunha. Could triple captain him. They've got Palace and Brentford.
That'll go really well when he gets sent off, and you end up with about minus 12 points.
Pretty much. So at the moment, with the options, I may just go for it, just for the podcast, just for you, ladies and gentlemen, to triple captain Leon Delap, and we can obviously reflect on that the next FPL podcast and see if it did come through or not. But we shall see.
That's a reason to subscribe if he does this as well, because one of the things we've done throughout the season has been behind the scenes for away days. We've been really big on that. And if we do this, I'm going to be with Ross in the car for quite a while. We'll then get to the King Power. You'll get to see Ross's reaction. I think we could possibly even film that live if he did it. His live reaction to the team news, and see him either like running around the press lounge in the King Power Stadium, like screaming, taking his shirt off, wheeling it around his head, or just like quietly taking himself to the toilet to sob. One or the other. It intrigues me.
Yeah. And as you said, like, he may not even play like the full 90. Like, as George Hurston coming on.
He
for him,
definitely
like
will not play the full 90. If he starts, I think he'll probably play about 60 minutes.
Yeah. And then, obviously, Leicester are in good form. Obviously, Jamie Vardy, you know, swan song and all that. So, like, Town may lose again. So, it's like, maybe I shouldn't do it. or maybe, as I said, maybe I should just wait for the West Ham game and do it for that one. It's in my mind right now, I think I'll have to do it just for the listeners and just for why not. You know,
I love it.
Leon Delap's been in my team the whole shebang, and I haven't used my triple captain until now. I should just put it on Leon Delap. So, yeah, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a little cliffhanger. We'll find out. Obviously, AJ will probably know by the time, you know, when the team news get dropped, because we'll obviously talk about it. But I'll have a decision to make. So, wait and see. Shall we take a look, AJ, at the leaderboards as a whole? You are not in the top 100, same as me.
134.
134 on 161. I think we're 20 points away from each other.
Ooh.
So
this Liam Delap captaincy, triple captaincy, sorry, could really be like a make or break in this whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's 24 points, my bad. So extra 4 points there, that's fine. But yeah, that could be. Like, yeah, Delap, if he goes and scores a hat-trick, and how many points would that be? Like, I don't know, 50 points or something crazy, then. Yeah, it's a risk. Am I willing to take it? We shall see. Let's take a look as well at the leaderboard, obviously. Roberto Teller is still leading the way. 12 points.
But his lead's been cut.
It has, because he didn't have a good game, were you? Only 48 points. G2 is got 61 points in total. Eze was in the person's team. Dan Byrne as well. Watkins. Anybody else? We've got Big Brian as well from Brentford was the other good one. Guardiola as well. Anybody who's going to take a late charge? Peter Harrison, Jake Plum could potentially have a late charge.
Plum, sorry. If you're listening, Jack. He meant Jack Plum, not Jake.
Where did Jake come from?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I just got a message from a Jake, so that's probably why it just appeared on my phone. But yeah, Jack Plum only got 56 points, but could have a late surge into the last two game weeks. But yeah, any big score lines? Richard Castle moved to eighth place. He's 76 points. He had three Villa players in his team. Watkins, Rodgers and Konsa. He also had Eze in his team as well. Livermento on his bench for 7 points. But any other big score lines that we were quick look?
I'm trying to... 89's the highest I've found so far. I'm going down to see if I can find someone that has cracked 100. But thus far, it's not looking likely. We've got an 85. Yeah, not too many, which makes me feel a little bit better. But most of these scores are above me. I've just seen someone with 29, which has made me feel a little bit better, given how bad my game week went. I think 89 is the highest I can spot in the KOA league.
Okay. Yeah, James Willerthorne. Yeah, James Willerthorne is, you know, was leading the way for a while, but he's still trying to battle there. Who do you reckon's going to win it?
Oh, this is really tough because the gap is, there is a bit of a gap there for Roberto Teller, is there not? But the fact that we've got G2 that's now been able to cut it quite significantly, 2 weeks left. Already between first and third, there is quite a big one now. So I think it will be down to Roberto Teller and G2, and it'll be one of those, given that there's just such slim margins between people at the moment, and a lot of people have the same players, logically, as you will do at this stage. I'm going to go out on the limb. I think G2 is going to make a late surge, a late turnaround, final day, and win it ahead of Roberto Teller. I'm really sorry, Roberto Teller, if you now do end up winning it. I don't want to, you know what, fair enough. Come, go prove me wrong, Roberto. You can do it.
Well, although I'm disappointed because I'm looking at the top sort of 10 and none of them got Ipswich Town players on their team, which I know is obvious. You know, you want to do well in your FPL, but we made that rule and obviously it was our rule. But I was hoping someone who's going to win this at least have it one Ipswich Town player. I don't care if they were on your bench, but at least, you know, be in your team because me and AJ have kept that rule. At least had one.
All the teams at the top, actually, if you look at it, I mean, kind of going down a little way, not many of them. I don't think any of these teams I'm looking at now have actually got Ipswich players. The first one I can see actually is Delapi Gilmore, like it. Mark Beck, who got 69 points in 17th, who had O'Shea on his bench, just like me, like it. But not too many, unfortunately, which is a shame. Two sides of it. I mean, there'll be people who don't listen to this pod who won't know the rules. And also, if I was playing the game normally, I would not touch an Ipswich Town player, to be perfectly honest. So I understand it, but it is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, as you said, it is understandable that we're definitely with Ipswich Town's form in the last few months. Yeah, probably why, and maybe that's why I've been struggling. Maybe I shouldn't have had Liam Delap sort of being my main striker, although I have been having him on my bench a little bit as well. But yeah, big talking point though in the leaderboard is obviously the battle of Heathie and Stu. It will be the worst out of us four because Heathie put it on our group chat and he went 2 FPL game weeks left. Heath, 2,089 points. Watson, 2,083 points. So 6 Ooh. Points separate them both. So that's going to be interesting. Just anything can happen. I don't really know their teams properly. And I can't be asked to scroll down because it's probably... Sorry, boys.
It's going a long way
down into the leaderboard. But yeah, who do you reckon is going to do it, my friend? I'm going to put you on the spot here.
I think Stu's going to finish bottom because talking to him, it's weird where like he talks about having these moments where he's just stood doing something and then he thinks, actually, you know what? I'm going to change my team. But I feel that Mark's competitive streak, knowing that there's something to fight for here to not be the worst of us four, means that he's probably got like spreadsheets open. He's got all the data. He knows the fixtures for the final two games. He is going to be determined. And I just hope for his sake, he doesn't do something stupid like his early Darwin Nunez pick, which was terrible.
To be fair, I've actually scrolled down as you've just spoken. And Stu actually got 63 points this week. He used his bench boost, which...
all right.
Alanga came in for 7 points. Mark Gaye got him 7 points as well. And Pickford in goal. He also got Eze for 16 points. Bowen, 8 points. Kevin De Bruyne was 6. But he's front three. Didn't do great. It was Wizard, Izak and Delap. So he's kept that rule as well. Well done, Stu. But yeah, everyone else sort of blanked through him. So that sort of helped him getting 63 points because Heathie got 48. So Heathie went up to 520th in the table. Stu is 533rd in the table. So, you know, top 500, boys. Can you do it? But, yeah, the victory cigars, Heathie's team, 48 points. Flecken, 9. Ruben Diaz got 9. Livermore as well got 7. Sarr for Palace got 6. Rogers, 6 as well. But Mamouche didn't do great. He also, both his keepers did well because the West Ham goalkeeper got 8 points as well. So, yeah, but he's got Greaves on his team. So Heathie stepped to that rule as well. So, yeah. As I mentioned, those players, AJ, what do you reckon? Who do you reckon will get that point definitely now if they're going to, you know, I don't know what changes they've got left, but I don't know who's in the best position with in terms of their options.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm taking Stu for granted here if he's sat here playing bench boosts. I mean, fair enough. Maybe there's a late surge here. I don't know. I think it's going to be neck and neck. Maybe Stu has what it takes to get through. That's a very good week for him. As a boyhood blue, I'm pretty sure he'll be, or boyhood toffee, I should say. You could call them blues, couldn't you? I'm sure he'll be piling Everton players in for the final day against Southampton. So, yeah, maybe he'll take it. Maybe he'll take it.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't got any Everton players in his team at the moment. So.
Still time.
Pickford. Sorry. He's got Pickford. There you go. Just realised, but, you know, it's a goalkeeper. So, we shall find out, ladies. That's another big talking point for the podcast at the end of the season. Is who sort of won at the top of our league in the out of us four who finished bottom as well. And maybe there'll be like a forfeit and then there'll be like a prize for who won. And obviously, we're hoping to do a prize for the winner of the Cowway League as a whole. So we'll find out that. And maybe, yeah, the winner, if you're happy to, come on the podcast and we can discuss the season as a whole and how you sort of played FPL this year. Are you really like committed to it or was it just... You know, you just put a team together and you went, oh, I'll just see how it goes. And then there we go. So we'll find out. But yeah, AJ, any other business as we wrap up another FPL podcast? Game week 37 is coming up. Town obviously travelled to Leicester. But yeah, anything else, my friend?
No, nothing else. It's a bit sad, isn't it? We haven't got too many more of these. I don't think we'll be doing these next season with no Ipswich in there. I'm sure we'll find something else to talk about in the meantime. But yeah. Finish on a high. I can bounce back from this. And top 100 still on.
Oh, that is the battle. Can me or AJ get to top 100? We shall wait and see. Thanks again for listening to another FPL podcast sponsored by Stardust Spirits. Use the code KOA to get 20% off your next order. And we'll be back next time to break down game week 37. Bye for now.
Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.